morning, good morning.
Good morning.
It is a little bit cooler, I like it. So, we are going to continue in 1 Timothy, and we have, just so you know, we have backpacks for the children. And Faith Startup is handing those out. Those are for them, for you to use during the message. We are a church, all right? We are a church that we strive to be family integrated. And so what that means is that we would really love to have the children stay in with their parents. We'd love to see families worshiping together. And this is one way that we hope to kind of facilitate that and make that happen. All that being said, right, if your little one gets a little bit squirmy, right, and needs to get the wiggles out or the giggles out or whatever it may be, if you go out the door and up to the top of the stairs and take a left into the blue room, right, there's stuff there for children. They can hang out there if they want to, if you need to get them out of here. But we love to have you stay here. When I preach, I typically don't see people moving, leaving, and coming and going. So it's not going to bother me. Okay, all that being said. But anyway, so we love children, we love families, and so we want to encourage that as much as we can. Last week we started our series in 1 Timothy. We looked at the first two verses, right? And we talked about these things. We talked about the purposes for Paul writing this letter to Timothy. One being this need for proper doctrine. Okay, number two, the need for proper conduct in the church and in the community. There were some key themes we talked about briefly: godliness, the gospel, prayer, church governments. All right, there were some key words in those first two verses: hope, grace, mercy, and peace. All right, when we came to the end of our time in God's Word, there was this idea of, okay, now what do we do? Right, what does this mean for Twin Villages Church? And we landed on three things. Number one, that we have to watch our doctrine. Okay, as a church, yes, but also as individuals. And so the catechism, right, that we do is one way that we seek to watch our doctrine, pay attention to those things. Number two, we need to watch our conduct. Right? We represent Twin Villages Church, yes, but bigger and more important than that, we represent the body of Christ, we represent Jesus Christ himself. And so we need to watch how we act, we need to watch our conduct. We don't want to damage or hinder our gospel witness. And one of the ways that we can help accomplish that is through discipleship, getting involved with one another and engaging with one another in life. And then the third application was to build community, the striving to meet new people, right? Seek to be known by others, to know other people, right? Again, ask those hard questions, but be able to be reaching out, right? Living out our faith here in church, but more importantly, out in the streets, out in the Twin Villages, wherever you may live, throughout the week. Okay, so with that, we're going to continue, and we'll be in verses 3 through 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. I will read them, and then we'll pray, and then we'll have some fun as we dig into God's words. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussions, desiring to be teachers of the law, without understanding either what they are saying or the things that which they make confident assertions. Verse 8, now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, with which I have been entrusted. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for Twin Villages Church and the opportunity that we have here to gather and to worship you. Lord, I pray that as we look at your word, Lord, that your word would speak to us. Lord, that your spirit would enlighten our hearts and our minds, that we would see your truth and your goodness. in your words. Lord, and if there are things that I have written down in this paper that you don't want me to say, Lord, that you would take them from me, that I would not speak them, but there's other things that I may not know that your Spirit's leading me to say, Lord, that I'd be faithful in proclaiming those things. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for your love for us, and one way that we can see it so clearly is by giving us your word to which we can live our lives. I pray this all in your name. Amen. All right, so verses 3 to 4 is our first section. When I teach, I just kind of like to work my way through the passage, and we'll stop and we'll linger in certain areas, and I'll make a few comments, and we'll just kind of keep moving. Okay, that's the way it works well for me. So we're going to be looking at the first purpose for Paul writing to Timothy, right? He urged Timothy, right, to charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. So there's two things that Timothy had to do, okay? Two things that Paul was urging him to do is to charge people to A, not teach any different doctrine, and B, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies because, right, they promote speculation rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. Now, we don't know any other real specifics about this, the different doctrine. Okay, Paul doesn't lay out, here's what they're saying, here's how you need to counteract it. I mean, we don't have any specific details, but we do know that that teaching was not profitable. Right? So Paul was saying, like, Paul was telling Timothy, right, engage these people. Okay, these ones who are teaching this different doctrine, right, charge them. All right, so he's not telling Timothy, okay, don't miss that. He's not telling Timothy, just ignore it. All right, they'll eventually go away. All right, he's not telling Timothy, like, pretend you don't hear it, or just kind of like laugh it off or shrug it off. He's saying, no, like, engage them, talk to them. All right, seek to lovingly correct them. So at the core issue for Paul, okay, that there was this, with this different doctrine, was that there was a lack of stewardship from God that is by faith. And that seems like a really cumbersome sentence and a really cumbersome phrase and idea. So let's talk about it for a moment. And what Paul is saying here, what that phrase is communicating, is that there is a way of salvation that is from God. And that's what we need to be stewarding. Okay, that's what you need to be paying attention to, Timothy. And so Paul is telling Timothy it's about the gospel, right? Stewarding the gospel. These teachers, different doctrines, right, is not stewarding the gospel. You need to steward the gospel. God's plan of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Steward that and steward it well. It's not about myths, okay? It's not about endless genealogies. It's about the gospel. Okay, so let's talk about myths. All right? These are this idea of, like, legend and fable, right? Things that don't really matter in the grand scheme of things, okay? So people getting hung up on things that don't really matter, right? So I have a list of some here. This will be a little bit fun, I hope, right? And you can tell me if you think these are myths, all right, if these really don't matter or not, okay? Number one, did you know, okay, that the song Gangnam Style, okay, this is for the younger generation probably, all right? Oh, yeah. That has over 2.8 billion views on YouTube. Okay, right? Is Elvis still alive?
Oh yeah.
Right? Right? Yeah. Is he? Right? Does Michael Jackson live in our basement? Right? You know, there are people that believe that Mr. Rogers, right, was a Navy SEAL, and that the one reason he always wore a sweater, and that was to cover up the tattoos. Okay. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Okay? You must keep, right? So here, now we're going to push a little bit harder here. you must keep all 10 commandments to go to heaven. Okay? God only answers prayers if your eyes are closed.
I'll pray while you're driving.
Right? Baptism saves you. Right? God helps those who help themselves. Okay? So you see, like, kind of goofy, but yet there's some that, like, right, people believe and people hear. All right? So these myths can be, you know, misinterpretations, twisted facts, flat out not true, right? But all of them are equally dangerous because of what they push into people's belief system, right? And so Paul is going to push hard into this idea of myths, because you want to know what? They can lead to legalism. They can lead to moralism, right? They can seriously damage the relationship aspect of Christianity, right? Because it's all about works and what you do, and okay, I've got to keep all 10 commandments, right? So the relationship piece with Jesus and God goes away because you're just focused on what you have to do. And so people can now have a lack of clear understanding about the gospel, what it means to be a Christian. People can become de-churched. What I mean by that is they become so frustrated and just annoyed with the church, they just walk away from it altogether. Okay, so you can see why Paul is going to push into this and is telling Timothy, hey man, store the gospel. It's not about myths. It's not about endless genealogies either. So what was likely happening in Ephesus is this, is that certain people, certain men were assuming leadership roles or teaching positions, or they were showing partiality because of who they were or who they were related to. So there's a sense of entitlement and privilege, and we see this today, right? Things don't change, right? We see this on a very global level. We see this nationally. We see this regionally, and we see this locally, right? People believe something about themselves because of their genealogy, and it could be privilege that they're owed something because of their last name. It could be a way to excuse their behavior. Okay, that could be a positive thing. It could be a negative thing, right? It even can play into salvation, right? Well, hey, my parents went to church, so I'm good, and I went with them, right? Or my grandparents were missionaries, so I've got to be saved, right? And so for the Jewish people to hear this idea that genealogy doesn't matter, okay, that's going to shake them, because it was all about genealogy, right? And their line. But for Gentiles, for us, it's some of the best news, right? Because we were grafted in, right? The gospel is for all who believe. We read this in Acts chapter 10 and 11 when the gospel goes out to the Gentiles and Peter and Cornelius. In Romans 11, Paul speaks about the Gentiles being grafted in. But don't hear me say, okay, that family is not important. Family does not matter. It does matter. It is important. Okay, today we celebrate Father's Day. Right? And there are some extraordinary men, right, who have led their families, who are leading their families, who love their God and who love their families. And there's just this supernatural Holy Spirit and like sacrifice and resolve that they have. Right? But not every dad is like that. Right? Not every dad is a good dad. And so you could be here this morning and maybe that's not your dad. Maybe you lost your dad. Okay, but what I want you to know this morning is that you have a Father who loves you perfectly and endlessly. And that's God Himself. Right? The Father leads the home. All right? God leads the most important family that anyone can ever belong to, and that is the family of God. Okay, the ultimate family with the best heritage. Right? Right, but it's also family that has blemishes, right, and challenges and struggles as well. But we have, as a family of God, we have this ultimate future of eternity in heaven with Jesus. Right, so Paul is concerned about this different doctrine and this idea of they're focusing on myths and endless genealogies and the effects of this doctrine. Right? It has to be about God's plan for salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. That stewardship responsibility that we have. So on Wednesday, this is a little announcement for the men. On Wednesday at 6:30, I believe, we're going to have a meeting here for men. We're going to start what I'm calling leadership training. Okay, and we've never done this. I've never done anything like this. I've been trying to pull things together and set this up. But if you're at all remotely interested, curious about what this is going to look like, come out on Wednesday. All right, be here. I'll talk a little bit about what the class is going to look like. It's probably going to be about 20 weeks long. But we're going to take some time, and we're going to learn doctrine together as men. Okay, we're going to talk about family and marriage and all those kind of things. And so it's a way for us as men to be better leaders, okay, whether it be church or whether it be in our homes or in our community. So I'd encourage you to come out to that if you are interested. You can just see me afterwards as well. The more the merrier. So we'll learn together. That's kind of the theme. We had a core team meeting on Thursday night, and that was kind of the theme. Hey, we're learning together. Right? We're muddling through this together, so by God's grace. All right, so that's the first part. Okay, the second part of this passage is verses 5 through 7. All right, so Paul has just said, hey, Timothy, right, you got to steward the gospel. Okay, be aware of this different doctrine, miss the genealogies, speak into that, engage these people. Okay, but Paul says, here's the aim of our charge, verse 5. It is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, right? Desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. So he says, okay, Timothy, okay, not endless myths, not genealogies, storing the gospel, and we do this through love, okay? It must be done that way. What Paul is telling Timothy, through love. Love towards God, love towards others. The words of Jesus Christ himself from Mark chapter 12 are clearly in view. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Right, but this love, right, issues from or comes from three areas. A pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Okay, a pure heart. When you receive Christ, all right, by the power of his gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit, right, your heart is changed. Right? It's an internal thing. It's a very personal exchange, but your heart is changed. It goes from being a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. Okay? Before Christ, you're anti-gods. Okay? You're a rebel. Right? After that, your heart changes and you desire him, you want to be with him, you want to follow him. Right? And your heart is the central point in who you are. It's at the core. Issues, right? It's always a heart issue. Okay? Sin is a heart issue. And so Proverbs 4:23 tells us we're to keep our heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life. Your words, your actions ultimately begin in your heart, right? And your heart requires regular routine maintenance, okay, to keep the sinful desires at bay that all plague us, right? And this maintenance includes spending time with God. Individually, this is a way to do heart maintenance on a Sunday morning, right? Reading your Bible, praying, spending time with fellow believers, right? Holding your thoughts captive, confessing sin, keeping short accounts with God's, right? We'll celebrate communion. We celebrate communion every week at Twin Villages Church. We're going to celebrate communion this morning. And it's a way that we can do maintenance on our hearts. The second thing Paul says is a good conscience. Okay, and a conscience is a God-given thing that lets us know what his standards are of right and wrong. Right, it's kind of like your moral, God's given moral guide for your life. We all possess a conscience. Right, your conscience is going to either accuse you or affirm you. Right, but a good conscience is more than a clear conscience. All right, a believer's conscience, there's three things. All right, your conscience is guided by, as a Christian, your conscience is guided by God's word. Okay, it needs to be guided by God's words. All right, your conscience, like, you know right and wrong, right? You can just sense things. You hear someone say something, and you're just kind of like, oh, that doesn't sound quite right. Right, so your conscience lets you know, like, well, be careful, right? Dig into that a little bit, right? And your conscience produces godly sorrow, which leads to repentance, right? Seeking forgiveness, all right? Responding in love. Okay, a conscience not only hates wrong, but embraces right. Then number three, Paul says, right, it's a pure heart, it's a good conscience, and it's sincere faith. A faith that's not hypocritical. A faith that's not inconsistent. Right? It's knowing God and what He has for us to do, what He calls us to do, but it's responding. Right, appropriately, living it out appropriately. Okay, so Paul says, you know, this is the aim of our charge, love from a pure heart, good conscience, and sincere faith. And then he gives us this little example, gives Timothy this example, and gives us this example of people who were swerving from those things. All right, and they had wandered away into vain discussion. So they just abandoned God's standard of love. They had no desire to be involved in that standard, to live the way God would have them to live. Okay? So they're actively turning away. Right? But then there's this piece of like, but some of them, but they wandered away as well. And so I think what you see here and is this idea of, yeah, you can really actively swerve away, but yet we sang it, right? We're prone to wander. Okay? And think about a child, right, who wanders away, right? They don't make a break for it. Right? They're really not, you know, it's not a really calculated, planned out move, right? What happens is they become distracted or amused by something or curious, and all of a sudden they just kind of drift off and wander away and are doing their thing. It's the same thing for us in our Christian walk, right? Yes, we can swerve, but yet we are so prone to wander. We can become distracted or amused or curious. And I think that's what Paul's saying here about this, the myths and the endless genealogies, right? You just can get distracted by things and all of a sudden you're off somewhere where you shouldn't be. Okay, we see this, right? We see this in churches, right? We see this in our individual lives. So as a church, TBC, we really need to be on guard. Right, we need to be, as individuals, we need to be on guard as well. We need to stay close to God's words, right? Think about your personal walk, right? Are there times when you read your Bible and it says, you read something, it says, you know, do not do this or do not live this way, and you're just kind of like, yeah, but... And you fight it and you don't respond appropriately, that's swerving. Okay, but then there's those times when you just, life's busy and you just, you know, you don't have time to pray, you don't have time to be in God's word, and then that's when you kind of wander, right? And you can wander away. So we see all this. We need to be radically on guard in our personal lives. Right, and the gospel, right, must be done with love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Right, and then Paul talks about these false teachers. Okay, these teachers, okay, for them it wasn't about love, pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith. It was selfishness, it was power, it was prestige, there was probably some pride and arrogance mixed in. Okay, they wanted to be known, they wanted to be popular with the people, right? They were so consumed with learning, right, that they didn't know and they didn't know the God that they were learning about. Okay? And it's not like, it's a fascinating passage, right? Without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. So like, they just didn't understand, right? They didn't get it. But yet they were insistent that they were right and they did get it. Right? They thought they knew. In one of the commentaries I read this week, the author put it this way. It's bad enough to be ignorant, but they were dogmatic, or they were really assertive or adamant about their ignorance. Right? And that's what these teachers were characterized by. And that's why Paul is telling Timothy, engage them. Engage them. Engage them. Okay, the Holy Spirit was not active in their life to help them understand and discern. Yet they were arrogant enough to make these confident assertions. They were acting like what they had to say was absolute truth, but when in reality, they were ignorant and they were leading people astray. Okay, they were teaching a different doctrine. They were devoted to myths and endless genealogies. They were not stewarding the gospel. Biblical love was missing. Their hearts were not pure. Their consciences were not clear. They were hypocrites. And they find themselves in vain discussion. And then verses 8 through 11, Paul talks about this proper use of the law. We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. In accordance with the gospel, the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. So just so nobody would get the wrong idea, right? Paul is very quick to say that the law is good, okay? Which, in my mind, indicates that these false teachers were misrepresenting the law in some way, shape, or form. He had to make a point to say the law is good if one uses it lawfully or properly, okay? And other scripture confirms that the law is good, right? Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect. Romans 7:12, so the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. Right, so the law is good if one uses it properly. Okay, so these teachers were not using the law properly. Perhaps they were adding to the law, okay, or making the law as a means to salvation. Okay, it wasn't uncommon for Jewish leaders to tell the Gentiles, right, that they had to, in order to be Christians, they had to adhere to all the old Jewish Mosaic law and follow that, right? So then it becomes Jesus plus this action, this behavior, right? The law cannot save, right? That's why God sent Jesus Christ to fulfill the law, right? Jesus is the only one who could perfectly fulfill the requirements of the law. He did it perfectly, right? And we have salvation through him and him alone. The law is not laid down for the just or for the righteous, right? Because if somebody sees themselves as being just and righteous, right, they don't, in their minds, don't have a need to be saved. They're good, right? So they don't. So it's not laid down for the just or for the righteous. And what Paul then goes on to do is gives us this great list, right, of all the people that the law was for, and ultimately what the law does is it shows us that we are sinful people in need of a Savior. We are all guilty of violating God's standard, God's commands, and so the law condemns everyone. Now, in this list that Paul gives, it mirrors the Ten Commandments. Okay, so if you think that the Ten Commandments are just an Old Testament thing, all right, Paul is now going to talk about the Ten Commandments. All right, the first three, all right, and there are couplets here. The first three have to deal with our relationship to God. Okay, the lawless, all right, that's someone who has no commitment to God's standard whatsoever. Okay, the lawless are disobedience. Yes. Right? The ungodly, okay, those who disregard God, All right, our enemies of God are sinners. And the unholy, okay, you don't think that, you know, how you live matters and you can do whatever you want to do and God's standards don't matter, just do what makes you feel good. Right? They're indifferent to God. Okay? They profane his ways. They profane his holiness. So those first three talk about our relationship with God. Right? Then the next ones, we will work our way through 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Right? The fifth commandment, we should probably walk through these, right? Can we do that? We got time. Right? Commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Commandment number two, right? You don't bow down to idols. Right? Commandment number three, you don't take the word your Lord in vain. W, your words matter. Okay, number four is to keep the Sabbath day. Right? That's the person laying on a bed. Okay, that's four. Okay, number five is what? Honor your father and mother. All right, so Paul, right here, says in this list, right, for those who strike their fathers and mothers. Okay, that's not honoring. Right? Number six, okay, six, this is a spear, not a gun, spear, right, you don't murder. Okay, what's next in the list? Murderers. Okay. Number seven, okay, do not commit adultery. This is a bed, okay, don't commit adultery, okay? So what's next on the list? The sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, okay? Eight, this is a little bit harder, okay? See what happens. This guy only has three, this has five, if he steals from, excuse me, 5 and 3, 4 and 4, they stole. Okay, do not steal. Alright? So next on the list is enslavers. Okay, think about slavery. What are you doing? Right? You're stealing somebody, right? So there's this idea of not stealing. And then number nine, alright, is to not bear false witness. It looks like I only have four things, but I actually have five, right? I'm bearing false witness, okay? Not to bear false witness. And what's next on the list? Liars and perjurers. Okay, so the Ten Commandments, right, Paul appeals to those, right? And so what he's doing, right, the false teachers were doing what? They were misusing the law. And so Paul says, hey, look, the law still applies, right? See how that works? He's a genius. All right. So, and just to make sure that Paul had all of his bases covered, right, he adds this and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. Right? In case you have any other questions, right, let me just sum it up by saying this. All right. And to use the law lawfully, right, you use it in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. The law is a necessary part of the gospel because it shows us sin. All right. If there's no bad news, right? If there's no sin, and if there's no bad news that we're alienated and separated from God, then there's no need for "quote unquote" good news in the gospel, right? So we need the law to show us sin, so we can counteract that with the good news of Jesus Christ coming to pay our sin debt and to reconcile us back to God, which is the most deepest, desperate need that anybody has walking on the face of the earth today. Amen. Right, and this is the gospel that Paul wasn't trusted with. Okay, this is the gospel that we are entrusted with. Because remember, this has been passed down, right, from generation to generation. And so now we stand or sit here this morning having this call to be stewards of the gospel. Okay, so what does all of this mean for us at Twin Villages Church? I am super glad you asked. Okay, here are three things. Okay, three things. Okay, number one, all right, we need to watch our doctrine. Okay, you're going to hear that a lot over these coming weeks. We need to watch our doctrine, what we believe, and we need to pay attention to our conversations. Right, how quickly can we get wrapped up into vain discussions? or myths or endless genealogies. Number two, okay, we have the same charge that Paul gave Timothy, right? And it must be done with love. Love for God, love for one another, love for the twin villages. Okay, we must guard our hearts. We must do regular maintenance on our hearts. We have to have a conscience that's informed by God's word. And we must have a sincere and genuine faith. And number three, we must remember that we have been entrusted with the gospel. Right? It is the greatest news that meets the deepest need that anybody has walking on the face of the earth today, and so we must share that gospel. We must never compromise the gospel. We must live the gospel out each and every day. So that is how I can see this passage playing into our life here at Twin Villages, both as a body, but as individuals as well. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to pray for us. We're going to sing a song together. It'll be in your hymn books there. And then we're going to take communion. We're going to celebrate. Right? We're going to do heart maintenance together as a church. Right? And I'll come back up after the song to introduce communion. But let me pray for us. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. And I thank you for your words. Lord, I thank you for your gospel. Lord, and the fact, the sheer fact that you have called us, you've entrusted us with that. Lord, should make us pause. Lord, it's my prayer that as a church and as individuals, Lord, that we would steward the gospel well. Lord, that we would be quick to share the gospel, that we'd be quick to guard the gospel, we'd be quick to live out the gospel and to encourage one another with the gospel. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.